John chapter 3, Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered again, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" Thanks be to God for his word. I wonder what comes to mind when we hear these words, "born again, born again." To some it might bring pictures of sort of charismatic meetings where there are amazing healings and speaking in tongues or singing in tongues, interpretation of tongues or prophecy, or perhaps a fiery teacher, preacher on a street corner. You don't see many in Cottenham or Haddon for that matter, but it used to happen. To some people, it might make them feel a little bit irritated when we talk about being born again, as though it were implying it's some new form of Christianity, that there are two types of Christian, an ordinary Christian and one who's born again. Others may feel very anxious that being born again means somehow they're going to lose their own identity, who they really are. Whatever our feelings are, we have to respect these words in John's Gospel that Jesus used to explain a really deep truth about having a full relationship with God. So we can't just dismiss them. We have to look at them and use our minds and our hearts. Three times in this 12 verses in John's Gospel, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Are we hungry and thirsty this morning to see the kingdom of God, to know what the kingdom of God is about, to be in the kingdom of God, in his heavenly kingdom, in his earthly kingdom? "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can someone be born again?" He could not see it. He hadn't got it. And Jesus went on to explain that a person is born again when the Spirit of God enters into his heart and into his life. That's what being born again is about. He said humans can reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. And Jesus said, "Don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." Think about the story of the hungry caterpillar. When he came out of the cocoon, he wasn't an improved caterpillar, was he? No, he was totally new, a totally new creature, a beautiful butterfly. And that's the way it is when we allow Jesus into our life. He doesn't just make us a better person, although that's a good thing to be. He makes us a new creation, a new person. The sermon was in sort of 2.5 parts. You've had the first part, so this is the second bit coming up, which won't last more than 2 hours, but then we'll get on to the last bit. Nicodemus came to Jesus with sort of genuine curiosity, didn't he? He knew Jesus was from God. He'd seen the miracles, he'd seen the signs, he'd seen the people healed by Jesus. He knew this was a special man. There was no doubt in his mind about it. And therefore, from Nicodemus' perspective, he wanted to hear more, he wanted to learn more. What's this all about? And he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were part of a sort of religious and political party in Jesus' day. They thought themselves as the purest, the loyalist, the traditionalist. They obeyed the laws of Moses, the traditions of Moses, and they wanted to keep all that alive. And we read that Nicodemus was also a leader of the Jews. That meant he might have been part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body in Jerusalem. In other words, Nicodemus was an important man. He was a political leader of the day. But he came at night. He came at night when he wasn't really ready to sign on to Jesus. He didn't want anybody to see him. He didn't want people to know. He didn't want his friends to know that he was a follower of Jesus, or there was a chance he might become a follower of Jesus. It'd be dangerous. He didn't want to put his toe in the water. But this was no small thing for him. This was an important step in his life, an important junction in his life. And I believe we all have important junctions in our lives when we stop and think, or something makes us stop and think, or somebody says something, or God speaks to us in here or in here. Knowing who Nicodemus' friends were, it would have been incredibly risky for him, even at night, even secretly. His friends wouldn't approve, because they were already beginning to plan for the execution of Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus on a cross. They wanted him dead. Jesus was a troublemaker. He just upturned all the tables in the temple. He was getting in their way. He was annoying them. And the Jewish leaders would have been thinking of some way to get rid of this troublemaker, Jesus. But you know, Nicodemus addressed Jesus in what I think was a flattering way, but sincere terms. He said, "We know you are a teacher from God. No one could do all these things unless you were from God." And Jesus responded in such a way as to suggest it wasn't about signs. It wasn't about miracles. It was about being born again. It was about being born again. You know, I was working at in Cambridge. I used to be, as some of you know, a painter and decorator. And I was working at on a block of flats, painting a block of flats on the outside, just down the bottom end of Defreville Avenue in Cambridge. And two people came up, and whenever you see two people in suits and a thing under their arm, you know what's coming, don't you? Jehovah's Witnesses. And they were going to people in the flats, but they did stop and speak to me and had a lovely conversation. There's the older one and there's the younger one, and that's usual as well, the trainee. And I mentioned to them about being born again. And both of them looked at me staggered. "What do you mean?" And it was a bit like Nicodemus' response. And it was an amazing conversation I had with them. And the older fellow wasn't too pleased when I mentioned this, because I don't think it's probably not in their Bible, I don't know, because they're sort of different. But the younger chap, he said, "I've never ever heard about being born again." And he actually came back the next day, and he came back two or three days and apologised every time. He said, Do you mind me speaking while you..." "No," I said, "I can paint while you speak. We'll talk. I'll carry on painting." And it was a lovely conversation we had. But it reminded me very, very much about this story of Nicodemus. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus just didn't understand and asked, "How can anyone be born after growing old? Can they enter into the mother's womb and be born again?" Such was his thinking. He'd taken Jesus' words literally. He was trying to imagine climbing back into a mother's womb and starting all over again. This was his problem. He was a Pharisee. He was tied up in worshipping the written word, studying, judging everything by the word of law, and thinking his way to God. We can't do just that. He kept God out there. When what Jesus wanted him to experience was the ability to be touched personally by God. We pray this morning about this place being filled with God's Holy Spirit. It means when we worship together, God's Holy Spirit descends on us. We know when God's speaking to us. I know, you'll know. It's unmistakable. Because it hits here first and then it hits the heart. Nicodemus wanted to keep God out there. He didn't want it to be touched personally. We have a personal God who wants a personal relationship. And Nicodemus understood God as sheer power, but Jesus was trying to enlarge this concept of a God who is a loving God, a giving God, a God who wants a relationship. And that's the way the conversation was going. An important part of this story is for us to realize that although reading the words of the Bible and reading theological books about it are good things to do, we can't really get close to God by thinking our way back to him. You can be well educated. You can have loads of factual knowledge about the Old Testament, the New Testament, but still not know God personally. And that's a sad thing so many times. I've heard people say about people in church, and I've heard pastors say it. They look at a church congregation, and there are people in the church congregation who don't know God personally. How sad. Really sad. Because God wants us to know him and have a real personal relationship with him. A person can be a church pastor, can be a deacon, can be a church regular attender, and yet still not be touched by the Spirit of God in their heart and mind. Being born again, that's what we're on about, being born again is all about a reconnection with God that comes from the Spirit. It's a spiritual connection. There are lots of spiritual things in the world that have nothing to do with Christianity. And people grasp hold of all those sort of things, which is a mistake. To be born of the Spirit means that we have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. Those who know the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit in Paul's letter to the Galatians, where it says it means to have the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, the patience of Christ. Goodness me, I need patience. I'm as bad as anyone else. But these are the things of the Spirit, the kindness of Christ, how we need to be kinder, the goodness of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, the self-control of Christ who lives in us. I had to be gentle last night because we were babysitting, and the two grandchildren, Emma and Harry, came downstairs. We put them to bed about 7:30, and we started to watch what we thought would be a peaceful night. Well, it was a peaceful night of telly, really. But they came trotting downstairs 10 minutes after we put them to bed. And Margaret said to me, you put them back. So I went up and put them back, gently. I picked Harry up, carried him up, popped him in his bed, give him a kiss. Night, Harry. Night, Emma. Gentleness. And we're supposed to be gentle all the time. It's part of, you know, these are gifts that God gives to us. Having the Spirit of Christ taking up residence in us, helping us to become the person he wants us to be. Who does God want you to be? And you think of that. To become the person God wants you to be. Being born again is really a true faith in Jesus, living not just for ourselves, but for him. It's a gift from God, a lovely gift from God. And we will be given other gifts. We've spoken about other gifts. Maybe the more spectacular ones mentioned earlier about speaking in tongues or healing or prophecy. And there are other gifts. There are loads of other gifts that are equally important. Musical gifts, empathy with certain groups of people, children, teenagers. We've got people working out the back there this morning with the young people. What a gift to have, to be able to empathise with them and to teach them. Older people, looking after them, people in difficult situations. Gifts of administration, so important. The list goes on. But for the gospel writer, for St. John, it was all about dying to the old life, starting a new life. I remember dying to the old life. My old life was totally different, totally, and some of you know that. The new life, when I started to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a new life. I am a new person. I think differently. I view the world differently. Everything is different. Dying to the old life, starting to live a new life, which of course is the symbolism of baptism. When people under here, when the baptistry is opened up and we go through a baptism by total immersion, that's the symbolism of it. We're going under the water, we die to everything that's past, and we rise up a new person in Christ. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was actually in the dark. Darkness and light are central images in John's Gospel. And the Christian life is all about coming out of darkness and into the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And I thought we could continue our worship as we sing Light of the World. Today I want to draw things together and to think, if maybe, there's a little bit of Nicodemus in all of us. Have we kept God at a distance? Perhaps feeling worried or concerned that if we open up to him, what will happen? If we open up to his spirit completely, how's it going to change us? What will it mean? Or are we searchers for truth, willing to really listen for God's voice? It's something we've been doing in Haddenham this last week, in a week of prayer, in actually listening to what God is saying to us, what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go. And a final thought, what did you and I do to deserve to be born? Nothing. There is nothing that I had to do in order to be born. Nothing at all. Being born was a gift from between a miracle between my parents, my mother and father. I never actually knew them. My mother died when I was an infant soon after birth. I never knew my father. That was a miracle that I was born. It's a miracle that we're all born. Similarly, to be born again is a gift. There's nothing that you and I can do in order to be born again except to open up our hearts to the Spirit of Jesus. Being born again is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's a gift to help us to be God's people, where we live, where we work, in the wider world. It's a gift. And it's a lovely gift.